Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, good evening and welcome into the HananiahAutos.com studio. Hey, Joe, do you have that liner that we sent over to WOKV? I just want you guys to know how we set up the show for tonight.
I have a feeling it's not going to...
Well, it's kind of in the spirit of the holidays, and it's actually going to be cold tonight. So what I'm thinking is, you know, this might just be kind of a cozy show.
Joe, what did you take?
Week 16. I thought you'd have that up.
You know, as Joe's...
You were going to play it.
Well, listen, as Joe's pulling that up... Oh, go ahead, Joe, because this is bad radio right now.
We have a different kind of Jaguars Monday planned tonight. Tony Baselli and Pete Prisco sip hot cocoa wearing slippers and telling stories of Christmas days gone by. That's Jaguars Monday tonight at 6 on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Did you see my tweet?
No.
You didn't see my tweet?
Oh, I did. That's where I got the idea
did
from.
You
yeah,
yeah, I was going to say.
That's
by the way,
it.
I've been getting a lot of tweets from people and that think you argue too much.
You're too combative.
You're too combative.
You know what?
Which is probably where the other
side. I don't
side
care.
I'm worried about you.
Listen, I think
you're having some real issues. You're getting louder and louder and louder.
You know
by
what
the week.
Though? I was driving into that. I think I do need. I am having issues because I'm not a happy person right now, and that's not good. Christmas.
I just have this image of you two sitting in Barca loungers, right, with your feet up with slippers on, a roaring fire.
I wish because guess what?
That's hot cocoa and talking about Christmas.
That's what Christmas is supposed to
yes,
be.
Yes, it
Christmas
is
supposed to be hanging out, having hot cocoa with your friends and family, and enjoying each other. Not this craziness of buying 9 million different things, running around with 50,000 things to do in the chaos of everybody. It's crazy.
Now, this question.
Do you like it, Pete?
I love Christmas.
But do you like all that other stuff?
If you're one of those guys who just walks in, gets it, walks in, gets it, walks in, gets it, walks in, gets it, you're done.
You have no kids,
You got kids, so you got
to have a wife that like spends like thousands
no.
and thousands and thousands.
Yeah, well, now we're at the root issue. This is all Angie's fault.
Yeah, well,
you're blessed to have that beautiful woman.
Accept Can I just say this? She's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. The greatest. And to give me 5 great kids. But for this period of time,
yeah,
I'm worn out right now.
Let me give you a Christmas story,
all right,
by the way.
Do.
This is, and it has to do with him, and it has to do with me. And I mentioned this to you last week. I did my good deed for the year, right?
Yeah, you came.
for the
I
year.
I thought for the decade, as far
but
as
let me,
I was concerned
I did my good
for
deed
you.
For the year.
Yeah, you came up shopping with the Baselli Foundation.
And where was
kids.
That?
When was that?
No, where was it?
It was at Target.
And what did I do? I bought the kid a
yeah,
present
right.
with my credit card at Target.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yes!
Oh, you're one of the guys. That
I'm one of them! But I will tell you this. Remember I told you that my bank got a call about
yeah.
law enforcement or whatever?
Is that what it was?
Yeah. They never said it, but I was one. But they never got to me where they used my card or anything, but I had to get a new card.
I wonder if they used my
yeah.
card.
So I do a good deed once in my life! And look, and it comes back and bites me in the behind.
Well, listen, try to do more.
No, I do stuff like that. But that was a great experience. It just
except
turned
for the
a little.
Card,
well,
yeah.
It was no big deal because nobody they corrected they caught it first and it was.
And
I was
I know
one of the
this
lucky
is
ones.
We're supposed to be talking about Jags and sports and football, but
that's what people who are listening are saying right now.
Well, that's just a little spice of life.
Okay.
Now, are you? I read that like 14 million credit cards got stolen from Target.
It's like 40 million.
40 million.
Yeah.
And so. How am I supposed to know whether they got my credit card or not?
Well, you would have known by now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and luckily, my bank called me. There was no charge, you know, because I'm one of your LifeLock guys, and there was no charges.
Oh, yeah.
But the bank called me and took care of that.
Well, they should be an
there.
Advertiser. I mean, I could go on and on about them.
Yeah. All right.
But
let's
they're
talk
great.
Football
so,
now.
Yeah, so, but that's but, my but wait, ball but, humbug, Baselli.
I was reading your tweets while I was standing in a line about 50 people deep at about 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Did you feel my pain? A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. But how many lines have you stood in?
Oh, I went to the post office, sat there forever. My whole
but
point
is the 23rd, Tony. You know, you might want to do something before the 23rd.
No, but here's my whole point is I love my family. And I actually love Christmas. I really do. Now, my kids always say I'm the Grinch because it gets so – because my wife, God bless her, is the greatest one ever. But she is like – she is Mrs. Claus. I mean, like she thinks Christmas is like – the greatest time of the year and goes from like Thanksgiving weekend until New Year's weekend is like Christmas-aholic. I mean, it is baking and parties and decorations and parties and
spending money.
Spending
money.
My kids love it.
Spending money.
Like, they had a cookie party today, a cookie decorating party at my house with kids and people and just a lot.
Can you hear the angst in his voice? He has to go home and he can't eat any of it.
Oh, no, no. We'll talk about that later. I'm already beyond that.
He was on a diet.
I knew that went out the window.
He was on a diet yesterday.
That was gone. That is gone.
This weekend was too much more than I could handle.
What a bad time to try and start.
All I want to do, the long story short, is I just want to hang out with the family, drink some cocoa, sit by the fire, watch A Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Talk about good times and enjoy each other's company. I don't need all the other stuff. That's all I'm saying.
We have a different kind of Jaguars Monday planned tonight. Tony Boselli and Pete Prisco sip hot cocoa wearing slippers and telling stories of Christmas days gone by.
Not happening. We're going to take a break. I've never had a pair of slippers on in my life.
Oh, I do. I love slippers.
What?
Yeah, you don't wear slippers?
No.
Did I nail that?
I like the slip-on ones where they have no back and kind of
never wore a pair of slippers.
Go get the Times Union. Come in, a nice cup of Joe in the morning.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a break, and then we'll restart this entire show with our big three relative to the...
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. But
it is Christmas,
but
though.
We'll have a little Christmas music,
spirit.
Too. How about some Christmas music when we come back, Joe? You're listening to the to Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio. Choose a Christmas song with some words so that someone might know it.
What are we listening to?
What is this, Christmas in New Orleans? What is that?
It's B.B. King. You know, you give it... I gave my phone with the music on it to Joe, thinking he would choose something Christmassy.
How about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? That's what I want.
He's programming for himself.
I want Jingle Bells,
Bells. I saw Mommy smooching Santa. You never... That is a song.
Whatever. Garth Brooks did a version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Let's go.
Here we go. Here's our big three for the week, folks. Number one, the finish line. Number two, the roster. It's different again. And finally, the Jaguars sitting with the number three pick heading into the final weekend of the season. So let's go back to the finish line. Obviously, this is a point where you've got some football teams around the National Football League. And the old joke was the car was running in the parking lot waiting for the game to be over. Guys are just trying to get this season done and get into the offseason. Today, Gus Bradley at his news conference was asked, is your team of that mindset?
I think that's a legit concern. I do not feel that with our team. I did not feel that after the game in the locker room. I think that they feel like we've made really good improvement. We put ourselves in position to be there to capture some of these opportunities. And I think that that's their mindset and that's their style. And I think they say, here's another opportunity. We're going to finish. We're going to finish strong. And, you know, that's more the mindset I feel. So I know that's maybe a concern across the league. It's something to at least think about. But I don't feel that with our guys.
You know, say what you want. And it may not mean much to people around the NFL. But, man, this team has continued to play. Doesn't matter who is out there. The receivers yesterday. Lamar Thomas? I mean, really? We're talking Kerry Taylor, Mike Brown, really? And yet, they're all out there catching the ball, making plays. You know, defensive side of the ball. There's John Lalele out there along with, you know, Leroy
Kerry
Reynolds.
Thomas, and Leroy Reynolds.
I mean, just on and on and on,
Jones,
and on and on and on.
Jordan Miller.
Of course, this team is going to go to Indianapolis and face a team that can move around still. They can get up higher than where they are seated right now and have their hands full with Andrew Luck, but this team's going to play hard.
Well, a lot of those guys might be playing their last game. I mean, you're going to go play hard because it might be your last game here.
Well, and it might be your last game anywhere.
Right, so go play hard. They'll play hard.
I'll say this. If I ever had the opportunity to talk to any of these guys or anywhere, you better go play as hard as you can because it might be never again. I mean, I go back to in 2001. I played a game in Seattle, thought I'd play another 3, 4, 5, 6 years of a career. You play a game. Because of injuries, you never play the game again. You never get to walk out on the field again to do the thing that you love, that you were made to do. It's over. And so I don't care if you're out of the playoffs, in the playoffs. I don't care if it's for, you know, seeding or whatever. And I'm going to be honest. It's not like I had this perspective playing. But to have that perspective, this might be it. And so go play the game. Go have fun. Go compete. Go live. Go have a memory of the last game you play in, if this is it, whether it's just for the year or for a career or whatever, or this place, and have a good memory of what you do, because that's what Gus is about. That's what you see this team doing now. Listen, there's some talent and some deficiencies. I mean, there were some rough spots as I watched the tape yesterday. I mean, it was rough. But the one thing that guys are flying around, they're playing hard. And there were some bright spots, too. So I don't think that'll be an issue with this team, and I hope not, because
youth will have a lot to do with that. If this was, I think you're more apt to see that with a veteran team, with a young team, with a lot of young players. They don't know any better. They're going to go play. For example, I'll give you one. Detroit, out of the playoffs, eliminated.
Well, their coach is getting fired, too.
Right, and he's getting fired, and you'll sit there, and I would think that they'll go to Minnesota and Fairley and Sue and guys like that who have a tendency to push the edge and the envelope and everything else. I bet they don't play as hard.
I don't think their quarterback's any good either. Did I say that last week?
You've said it for like 3 weeks.
And he's 0-2 in the last two games?
Yeah, but Calvin Johnson had a few drops in that game, yeah, by the way. I think they're undisciplined. I think they're poorly coached, and I think that coach is gone.
I do, too. I agree with everything Pete just said. I think maybe Young is true. Will be helpful in that situation, Pete. But I think this team, with the culture, which that word you disagree with, that Gus Bradley has established here, I don't think it's an issue, young or old. Like, I think Jason Babin will play hard.
By the way, they're getting lower and lower in that draft status. So they got your wins. They got your wins, and they're going to end up drafting third.
Well, I don't think they can't go any higher than third. Can they? Well, I guess they could.
Well, if Washington wins.
If
Washington wins, they could. But again, the strength of schedule that comes into that, we're not quite sure how it all pans out, because they don't do that till the end of the year. Because the last week factors into it. They get as high as two. I mean, the Texans are one, and if they win next week in Tennessee and the Redskins lose, you know, then you have a tiebreaker for them to fall from one to two. The Jags can only get as high as two.
Well, if they get to two, think about this. You got to figure the Texans are going to draft a quarterback, even if they get to three. And the Rams have pass rushers, so they really don't need pass rushers. The Jaguars could be sitting there at three with an opportunity and a decision on Clowney.
You don't take them. I don't take him.
I haven't done the work on him yet, but I've heard a lot of bad things about him, so I probably wouldn't take him either.
All right. So let's go back to the finish line, by the way, and we're going to talk about the number three pick a little bit later here. The other side of this is Brad Meester crossed the finish line here yesterday, finishes up in Indianapolis on Sunday. Go back to that memorable play that everyone's talking about around the NFL today.
Here's 2nd and 8 at 13 of Tennessee. Split receivers, two tight ends. One back is Maurice Jones-Drew. Drops to throw, fires it to Brad Meester, and Meester's got it at the 10. The big man makes a move to the inside. He's got a first down. Brad Meester to the 4-yard line. Oh, how about that?
Beautiful.
Brad Meester went and lined up outside and got the screen.
I was telling Pete, who was in Fort Lauderdale yesterday, that was one of the great moments in the stadium. It's top 10 moment in the stadium.
I mean, I don't know where it ranks, but it was a great moment for me. I mean, yeah. I didn't even say anything. You could hear me clapping very unprofessionally in the back of the – I mean, I was clapping in the booth. I didn't know what else to do. I was excited for Brad. I mean, that was awesome. I texted Jed last night. I went and talked to him to his office today, and I said thank you from all the big guys and guys who played this game and understand what Brad Meester's about and what he's accomplished in his career. Thank you for doing that for him.
What was the what's the genesis of how it all came about? Whose idea was it?
I don't know.
I think it was Jed's.
Was it?
I mean, I shouldn't say that. I'm guessing that Jed calls the plays. Maybe Gus told him to. I have no idea.
That's what I mean. So I'm sitting there down there. We're watching that, and I thought it was. I said the same thing. I thought it was cool as can be. I thought that was very special. Chad Johnson was sitting next to me. Says his quote was that was tight, because he thought it was cool too. Because that's what. And to me, it's a reflection
of the
Gus
staff
and Jed more than it is. And great to honor Brad. Those guys, Brad didn't play for those guys. He played, 15 games for them. To do that speaks a lot about them as coaches.
Pete, they get it.
They do.
Gus gets it. Listen, I'm a big Jed fan. I think Jed gets it. I think the staff, I mean, I talked to Bob Babich. He gets it. I mean, and I can go down the list. I mean, I am pleasantly surprised as I sit here 15 games into the season, getting to know the staff and Gus Bradley, that Gus and Dave were able to put this quality of a staff together for a first-year staff. Because that's hard, but you know that, because guys are under contract. You can't get everyone you want. You kind of have to pick and choose and get guys. And however they did it, in the mix, in the blend of older and younger guys that they have, It's a great staff. I mean, it is really a quality staff, and you can go down the list, and all I do is I just would challenge anybody, go turn on the tape and watch how this team plays. Look how they've gotten better. Look at guys that were on the street that had no one, you know, look at Jacques McClendon, who was cut by Atlanta, was on the street, and is picked up, and go watch him play football. He does a nice job. Now, kudos to Jacques. I mean, that means he's a good football player. But the way he's coached, the way they prepared him, the way they evaluate talent, go find guys, get him in there. Giorgiano and Luke Buck is coaching him up, get him ready to play, and go watch how he plays. Go look at Austin Pazdor, Cam Bradford. Go look at the wide receivers, what Jerry Sullivan's done with that group. Look at, you know, Jed Fish, how he designs things. Todd Wash, a defensive line coach, creating sacks and getting more out of Andre Branch than anyone ever thought that you'd get out of Andre Branch. Bob Babich dialing up blitzes. You know, I mean, just go down the list of coaches that have doing a great job.
And they've got 30 sacks in the season, which is a 50% increase with one game to play with the same personnel.
Yeah.
Without
a guy who could put his hand on the ground and you know you got to identify him and go, we got
to
block him.
By the way, that brings us to number two, and that's the roster, which has been, you know, jumbled the last couple weeks. Again, today, the Jags put two defensive tackles on injured reserve. Brandon Dedrick with a dislocated elbow, which I hear was ugly on the tape. Roy Miller goes on IR today. By the way, they signed Drake Nevis and Kyle Love.
It was so unfortunate to see that for me. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for me, too.
What did he do, put his hand down?
He was reached out for a tackle and gets his hand on the running back. And I believe it was JT Thomas coming in to make the tackle. And as his hand's out here, just blows through the elbow. And it was I know it's a radio show. I'm trying to.
Was it gross?
Flopping like a fit.
Oh. Was it Theismann gross?
No, because there was no bone out.
No, but,
or blood. But it was just like it was very disturbing.
Ugh.
And that, you know, before it happened to me, I mean, because I didn't have a dislocated elbow, but I dislocated kneecap, and you have different injuries where you get rolled up on that really hurt bad and are bad feelings. Before those happened to me, I could watch that kind of stuff and it wouldn't bother me. But now that I've felt that, I can't watch it. It caught me by surprise, and I saw it, and I had to fast forward because it's an awful feeling. I mean, and poor Brandon Dedrick. I mean, he's sitting there, and there's nothing you can do, and just flopping around, and it's.
Does it hurt the whole time, or does it hurt right when it happens, and then it's okay?
It hurts right when it happens, and then I think there's a sense of a little bit of shock and fear of knowing what is wrong.
Have you ever broken a bone?
No. I mean, fingers, nothing big.
Yeah, you guys.
I broke a nose once.
That can't feel good.
It doesn't feel. It didn't feel. And not only that.
I've got hit in the nose and it didn't break.
No, it broke. And then there was a broke in the side and it was gushing out blood out of the hole in the side of my nose.
That's a good look.
That was a bad one. That was bad. No, you know what? The operation was far worse than the actual injury.
Waking up from the operation is always worse.
Hey, real quick, let's finish out this first half hour.
Sorry.
Then we're going to turn our attention to the league as a whole. Because there's a lot of interesting stories today. The number three pick, the Jags right now are sitting at number three, but there are a bunch of teams with four wins, and depending on how it rolls out, they could be anywhere from 3 to 8. Sitting where they are right now, 3, pretty darn good for them, looking at the spot, at the talent that's out there.
You know, that goes back to our old debate about winning and whatever. If they can end up with the third pick in this draft and still have won those football games, it's a total success this season to me.
Which means I was right because I said, just go win and let it take. Yes, my whole point
was. Well, they still haven't won a lot of games. They still haven't won a lot of games.
Win games right, and let the rest take care of itself. That was my whole point.
No, they're still draft. They'd still be drafting third, Tony. That's third.
Brian, is that what I said?
I'm imagining you guys with your feet kicked up, slippers on.
He'd argue about how I had my slippers on.
Do you know the reality of it is
that. Pete would have his Coco spiked.
You're talking about.
I probably would.
Your conversation about letting things take care of itself. Absolutely right. But Pete's right, too, in this situation because he says you get the wins and you get the draft pick.
My point.
No.
It all takes care of itself.
No, you were talking about getting 4, 5, 6 wins and drafting 7, 8, 9. 15 or 12.
I said I'm not worried about it either way.
But you should have been.
No, I should have.
Because now if they draft third and they got a couple wins, win a great season for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
If they win 5, where are they going to draft?
They might draft 10th.
9 or 10 in that range.
I mean, they can beat Indy.
They're not winning at Indy with that roster. Are you kidding me?
All right, folks. We've come to the
end. Are you kidding me? Stop it.
Against the Colts team, by the way, that they can move up. I was wrong yesterday in the broadcast. I thought they were pretty much stationary because
they can go to 2.
Well, yeah, I didn't think that they could get past Cincinnati at 3, But then if New England, but New England had to lose at home.
To Buffalo.
That's not going to happen either.
Ah,
so.
That New England team ain't that good.
All right, we'll take a break and come back after news on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and AM 690.
Yeah, now we're talking, Joe.
Could you at least tell everybody who's doing this? I do not know. I just downloaded that. Who?
Can Snap you speak along.
Into the microphone?
You really are a big, overgrown kid.
Maybe.
All right, so let's go to the tape.
Let's go to the tape. I just watched it.
And?
Good, bad, ugly. What do you want?
Well, let's start with the ugly.
Well, Dietrich's
injury.
No, how about ugly players?
Ugly players. You know what? I don't want to say ugly players, but I'll say this. The young guys on the defensive line struggled. They struggled.
Jordan Miller.
Jordan Miller and Avery Jones struggled. Avery was okay when he was out. Avery played a lot of different positions. He played two. He played three technique, and then he played that strong five or strong six. And he did. He was better when he was outside, when he was in a six technique. And he made some nice plays and did a good job. He struggles inside. He plays too high. He's not as strong as he needs to be yet. Gets pushed around a little too much. I mean, I think he's going to be a good player. He needs an offseason with Muslinski in the weight room. He needs to get bigger, strengthen him, lower body strength, upper body, just matures, become more mature. He's very athletic. And then Jordan Miller coming off the practice squad, getting thrown into the fire, and he looked a little bit lost.
Let's do something today, okay? You watch the tape, right?
Yeah.
Both offense and defense.
Mm-hmm.
The guys at Pro Football Focus, they grade guys on a regular basis. I love getting nitpicky with them sometimes. But I want to see – we're going to go through the guys' grades and tell me what you how you think they played, and I'll tell you how they graded them.
They've graded yesterday's game already.
Yes. They do it off the TV tape, obviously.
So they can't grade the secondary.
Right. Tyson Alualu.
Tyson is Tyson. He is solid. He's going to, not going to get dominated, not going to get moved off the ball, not going to give you a lot in the pass game. He was average. I mean, he was.
They gave him a minus 0.4, so it's not very good. And he was minus in all categories. So just.
He was fine.
Not horrible.
Yeah.
I'll give you the guy. Okay.
Give me another one. What did they say about Avery Jones?
Let's see. Avery Jones was minus 0.6.
So what did they say about Jordan Miller?
Minus 0.2.
No, I mean, see,
he was better than.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay. Here's a guy who was in total.
Give me like a positive.
I'll give you two guys that were in total red.
Total red. What's that?
Okay.
Mean?
JT Thomas. It means he had a bad day.
Yeah, he had a rough one. He listen.
John Lutalili.
Yeah, it was. Listen.
Okay. Jonathan Cyprian was in the minus.
That's crazy.
1.3 minus.
They're nuts. They don't know what they're looking at. Jonathan Cyprian's a stud. Jonathan Cyprian flies around, makes plays.
I agree. They've been hard on him. They've given him a lot of minus grade.
Well, they don't know who watches it.
I don't know.
And what do they watch?
I don't know.
They watch a TV copy? Okay. You can't judge a game on the TV copy.
Can't. They come back and they say they update it afterwards after they watch it. But this is I always see these grades. But for
I disagree
run
with that.
Defense, they gave one guy a plus in one run defense on the entire team. Puzzlesny.
Yeah, Puzz plays good. I think Puzz is solid.
They gave two guys big minuses in run defense, and it was the two linebackers.
Yeah, they struggled. They overran things. They weren't great on the backside. They got swallowed up against blockers.
Okay, let's
at times.
Go to the offense and see.
But let me go back to Cyprian. That's crazy. Cyprian, I thought he was a standout. I thought he played outstanding. You go in that 4-minute drill where they had to get off the field, he made two plays that were big time. The first play, he stretches it out, comes off a block, and tackles Chris Johnson open field for a loss. And then the second one, he comes backside, reads it, jets between the guard and the tackle, and goes and makes the play. I mean, those guys don't know what they're talking about.
Okay, here we go, offense. Who was in the
– Cyprian's a stud.
Okay, they gave Mercedes a plus grade in the passing game, and in the run game, run blocking, he was a minus. Okay, here's another guy who was in the minus in run game. Brad Meester was a minus in the run game. Uchiwaneri was a – no, Pazdur was a minus in the run game.
I feel – I mean, listen, Pazdur and Cam are beat up. You can tell. I don't know what the official thing is, and I have not gotten anything from the team or anything. Just watching the tape, you can tell over the last couple weeks – that there's some wear and tear, and you know,
both of them.
Pazdur has something on his left arm.
Both of them were in the minus in the pass protection.
It was a tough day. I mean, listen, they fought. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't their best. But you could tell physically, they were fighting uphill.
Your guy Jock McClendon, 0.3. So it wasn't in the minus, but he was a 0.9. He was minus 0.9.
What are they judging on? Run blocking. How do they do this?
I don't know. In the run blocking, he was a minus. Jock McClendon, was he better in pass protection or run game?
He was fine either way. I mean, he had some good, some bad, some ugly. But who does it?
Some guy in Britain or some guy here, they sit there and they watch the TV tape and they go minus, minus,
see,
minus.
See, I disagree with that because, number one, I hope there's like a guy who played the position or
right.
was a coach of the position that is watching the coaching tape and has an idea of the scheme they're trying right. to run. Because you watch the scheme and you watch the players, and if you don't understand the scheme or the nuances of the position, it's impossible. That'd be like me, frankly, and I know a lot of football. I mean, a lot, offense and defense. I watch a lot of tape. But I wouldn't sit back here and say I'm going to judge and grade the defensive backs on all their coverages. Now, I can tell when a guy's playing well or not playing well,
right.
but I'm not going to judge them on their
right.
techniques and what they
you
do.
That's like, I watch a ton of tape too, and I can tell if a guy is playing well or he's playing crappy,
yeah,
but you can't give him a minus plus on every play.
Every play, it's
you
impossible.
Can't do that.
You don't know.
You cannot do that.
And I know a lot of football, and I understand the basic
and
schemes
you know
that Bob Babich is trying to do.
And you know the offensive line.
Now, offense I can do.
Okay, I'll give
every
you one. I'll give
much.
You one. Yeah, but I'll give you one. When they come to the line of scrimmage and there's a free runner over here, and he comes free and gets a blitz, and nobody blocks him. Who's responsible for that? Is it the quarterback?
A lot of times it depends on, and you can tell a lot of times by where the back goes and where the line slides. And so if it goes away, if the back goes to the side the blitzer's coming.
It's his responsibility.
Well, not always. If it's number four, if it's a fourth blitzer, that's on the quarterback, and the receiver has to run a hot route
right.
unless he re-ID'd it and slid everything that way.
But
you can I see. But I played the position. I sat in those meetings. I can tell.
You could tell that. It's but sometimes it could be on the center too for making a bad call. No.
Well, the quarterback and the center pre-snap are on the same page.
Okay. So ultimately the center will make a call and the quarterback can override him, and then the slide comes this way.
Yeah,
and the guy's
sometimes
the free
you just
runner,
get fooled. Sometimes win or defense.
Right.
I mean, it's
right.
nobody's fault. The win or defense.
So who gets a minus on that play? That's what I got to figure out. Is it a plus for the free
plus,
blitzer? Is
the
free
deep,
blitzer? I mean, that's what I mean. Does a free blitzer
well, no,
off
the,
a scheme get a plus for that
well,
play?
Well, here's the minus. Is if the receiver doesn't run the hot.
Right, but what are you doing for the quarterback?
Well, if the quarterback and the receiver don't hit the hot, that's a minus. Because
right.
they know if there's a free guy,
right.
you're going hot.
Right.
And so my point is saying these – and I met the guys at Pro Football Focus, nice guys, and I'm not trying to – trash him or anything.
No, I'm not either. I like him.
I don't. I mean, I like the service and it's great, but to say Jonathan Cyprian had a minus grade, unless I'm missing it, and I'll go ask Bob Babich, but I watch Jonathan Cyprian and the way he comes up, and I'll tell you the other thing that guy does, he comes up with bad intentions. Like he really, and it doesn't matter if it's Chris Johnson or Sean Green, who's a power back, he has really bad intentions when he comes up to make a play.
Well, and this will really get you going. I'm just going to get you going here. In the games that they've graded him, he's been in the red 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of his games, and he's only been in the green, which is the positive for them, twice.
Well,
once against Cleveland and once against...
Can I get more of those red players in? I want a lot of red players. Give me the red guys.
I just think it's fun to look at this because these guys, you know, they do sit there and go through every game play by play, and they're good for the data on how many times they throw to the left side or the right side or whatever.
But you can't tell
formations. But
you can't tell from a TV copy. It's impossible. You gotta watch the coach's tape, and you gotta understand what the scheme is. What because if there's a defensively, if they're in a certain coverage, it could look like the corner gets beat. But they're in cover two, and the safety over the top is supposed to get there.
Right.
But the average person watching right. says, oh, Alan Ball got beat.
Right. He's releasing him, and he's got to come over the top and make the play.
You don't
I
know
agree.
That.
Yeah. It's hard to give a good.
All right, folks, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Don't forget, Jaguars All Access tonight. Brad Meester, who did more for this franchise than a whole lot of people, a whole lot of names that you know, will be on with Jeff and Brent Martineau, 7 o'clock on CBS 47. We're back after this on Jaguars Radio.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays.
I do know this is Andy Williams.
You know what?
You can't have a Christmas album without Andy Williams.
I got to be honest with you. This is helping me because I had a little bit of a black spot on my heart towards Christmas when I came in today.
Really? Why? Oh, of course. I'm going back to your tweet. Because people aren't sipping cocoa.
I was overwhelmed.
People are spending money.
I was overwhelmed. It was more than I could handle today. And all I wanted is to sit by a fire and sip cocoa. That's all I wanted to do.
Wearing your slippers.
Wearing my slippers.
Who actually sips cocoa, by the way, in Florida? You don't sit around and sip cocoa at Christmas. Stop saying
Joe
that.
Joe and I do. Joe and I wear our slippers together.
Turn the music up. I think
you do. Joe and I. Joe, put your mic on. Joe and I sit in his basement around he has a shrine, a Baselli shrine, and we sip cocoa together.
I'm a mean man.
Spaghetti
Mr.
hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, we have some lasagna, some chicken parm.
I'm okay with that.
And some cocoa.
Hey, I got it. Brian, your musical selection with this new phone has gotten much better.
Thank you. Why, this is better?
And Joe likes to put a little Sambuca in his cocoa.
I have a lot of Christmas music. Joe doesn't appreciate all of it.
I'm not a big... I like some Christmas music. Not all of it.
I'm getting joyful right now.
No, you're not.
Hold
you're
going to start arguing. Joe's favorite part of it.
You're going to start arguing in a second.
No, of course I am. That makes me... See, I don't understand why people don't like... and we get tweets that say we're too argumentative. I don't know about everyone else, but arguing makes me feel better.
You let it out.
That is good
no,
stuff.
I don't mind arguing.
It doesn't. No, it's not letting out. It like builds me up inside. Like it, like the conflict, the competition.
Right.
It makes me happy.
That's like
I get down when there's like no fighting.
That's like me on Twitter yesterday. As soon as the Chiefs lost, I said, "Hey, where are all my Chiefs fans out there? All your pals out there?" Of course, they come firing in because I like it. Then Seattle lost, and I go, "I told you there were flaws."
They're still going to the Super Bowl.
I don't know. I'll take quarterbacks.
All right, folks, you can go long with the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer
Drew?
Today.
Drew? Take him.
I might.
We'll talk. That'll be the – we got to – you know what?
We have the whole second hour to talk. Boys, there's
a
lot to talk about.
We got a CopyFax face-off.
What is it?
It's going to be Seattle.
You're so enamored with them. Did you watch them yesterday? Their line. You talk about how physical their line was. They got abused.
We're going to talk
about it. We're abused.
Save it.
Just stop.
I'll save it.
Save it.
Stop.
No.
You know what? You're an angry elf.
No, I'm not. I'm the Grinch. I'm a mean man.
You're not tall enough to be. You're not tall enough to be the Grinch. You're more elfish. You're an angry elf.
So what are you? The abominable snowman? It's the bumble.
Joe, find that line from Elf where Will Ferrell says you're the angry elf. That's what you are. I am an angry elf.
But you're the bumble.
I'm the bumble? What's the bumble?
Remember?
I do.
You know, you were just talking about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You never saw Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Oh, the abominable snowman.
Yeah, they call him Bumbo or whatever he is.
No, I don't remember that part.
UConn, what was
Cornelius.
His name? UConn Cornelius called
Come on,
him
you're
Bumble.
The bumble. If you saw Rudolph, you know how appropriate that is for you.
I was more of, I like Rudolph. I was... Just following Rudolph in the red nose.
And then, you know, this year in Rudolph was different. Did you notice this? Did you see it this year? We always watch it. My wife always watches it just to take us back to when we were kids. When he flew to the...
I got five kids. I'll take you back to me.
No, thank
send
you.
Them over.
No. Island of When he went to the Island of Misfit Toys. Yeah. This year he went to the Island of Misfit Quarterbacks and Tebow was there.
Oh, God. Yeah. You can't help but take a shot
coming out. There he is.
You love taking a shot.
And you know what?
Shot.
Santa took all the other toys and dropped them off, but he couldn't find a spot for the Misfit Quarterback.
Can't help it.
I can't help myself. It's too easy. It's low hanging fruit.
Mr. Grinch.
I'm a mean man, Mr. Grinch. Yes, I am.
By the way, was there ever a better acting performance than Jim Carrey as the Grinch?
Didn't see it. Never saw it.
You never saw that.
Yeah, I saw it. It was in my house. Terrific. It was in my house on my house last night, and I turned it off to watch the football game. My kids are like, "What are you doing? We're watching the Grinch." I said, "No, we're watching football."
Jim Carrey as the Grinch is one of the great acting players. He was terrific.
How many kids do you have in your house that still believe in Santa Claus?
I have three. One's borderline. One's like fighting to keep believing, and I think she knows that.
How old is she?
She's 12.
12?
Oh, wow. 12.
Oh, yeah.
My 12-year-old's over that one.
No. The 10-year-old and the 4-year-old are for sure. And Santa is real, just for all
of us. Oh, yeah.
Santa's real. Because there's someone in a car right now.
Oh, no. I'm talking about, for just all the other gifts on the side. I'm talking about, not the real gifts. He brings those.
Saving it.
Oh, yeah.
The only guy with no kids.
Listen, Santa, elf on the shelf. I mean, our elf's moving every night. Okay.
355-NFL-1-800.
You know what the elf on the shelf is, don't you?
I found out this year.
What kind of parent are you?
Didn't grow up with that. So
I didn't either, but I got 5 kids. So you, elf on the shelf, Santa comes, we leave cookies out. I mean, don't you leave cookies out?
Yeah, but what does that have to do with an elf?
Well, because the elves are part of Angry Elf here. It's part of Santa.
I feel bad.
When do you go to the North Pole?
I feel bad, by the way, when your kids leave cookies out for Santa. You're fighting them for them. You're tackling them, throwing them to the ground, beating them up. I'm going to have the cookies. Well, I've only had 50 of them today.
As I tell my kids, Santa and I are very close. We communicate all the time, and we share cookies.
Have you seen Fred Claus?
No.
I'm not a Vince Vaughn guy in general. It's worth seeing. Just saying.
Okay.
Have you seen All the Right Moves?
Yes.
Do you remember what Sal Vucci used to say about Christmas?
No.
What does that have to do with anything?
Because it's like the mean guy. You don't remember that? You remember when Sal Vucci got arrested? And it was Christmas. And they're going, "Hey, Merry Christmas." And what he was saying about Christmas?
Let's just move on.
All right. Did you cover the Cyprian topic enough?
Yeah, I'm disappointed by that.
I am every week. It infuriates me because Cyprian, I go back and watch the tape, and Cyprian plays significantly better than they think he plays.
Cyp played well. I thought. I thought Chad played well. I mean, Chad gets beat up a lot.
Physically, he does, because those
both.
Tackles, yeah.
He gets physically beat up, and then he also gets, I want everyone to understand who's listening. There's a chance.
Not a chance. He will be.
That he will be the starting quarterback next year, and that's not a bad, that's not a terrible thing. Chad Henne, first of all, has gotten better throughout the year. And he is the reason.
Well, and look what he's done the last 2 weeks with guys like Kerry Taylor.
And we argued, and
Mike
with
Brown.
Both of you, 8 weeks ago, that Chad Henne deserves to be the starting quarterback and that he should keep this job as long as he is performing better. And you said, what did you say?
Well, what I said was I wanted to see him one more time.
Right.
I didn't say that Henne didn't deserve it.
No, I'm
and
just saying.
Got better. I just said I'd like
but
to see him
But my whole point
once more.
Was Chad Henne is getting better.
And you've been consistent.
And what he has done, you go into this offseason, I'll be shocked if they don't sign him to a deal. I'm not saying for sure he's going to be the starter because I don't know what they're going to do in the quarterback. But let's say they draft a guy. I don't see them drafting a guy third. I just don't see that quarterback there, Pete. I mean,
people are trying to force guys up the board.
And Dave's not going to do that. Dave Caldwell is too patient and too smart.
Okay, let's.
And so they're going to draft a guy maybe second, third, fourth round. But if they do that, Chad Henne's going to be your starter. And again, I think you can win a lot of football games with Chad Henne as your quarterback.
Here's where
am I convinced he can be the guy who takes you to the Super Bowl? I'm not convinced of that. Am I convinced that if you build the right guys around him that he can be the guy who gets you the playoffs when you're finding that Super Bowl quarterback? Yes. Can he become the Super Bowl quarterback? I don't know. I wouldn't put much money on it. But we've seen a lot of guys that, for whatever reason, the older they get, the better they get, and they become more.
He's not. You're
I'm not
you're
saying
crazy with that.
Pete, I said I wouldn't bet any money on it.
Okay,
let's
play the scenario out, though. Let's say they draft the quarterback in the second round. What are you getting in the second round? Are you obviously don't
AJ
think,
McCarron?
Are you? He might be gone by the second
round.
Are you obviously are passing on the crew in the first round because you don't think one of those guys is a franchise quarterback?
What you think is that you think there's about 6 guys that are all second round talent, and you're not willing to stretch to get one of those guys in the first round.
I think that's a problem because I think all you do in that kind of scenario is you're trying to fix the problem. But not really fixing it, you're stopgapping it. Unless you truly believe one of those guys is a franchise quarterback. Look, this stuff about piecing together the guy and maybe you get these many pieces around him and he can fit the role, that garbage doesn't work. There's a quarterback league. You got to find that guy. Find the guy. And if you don't believe he's the guy, then don't draft him. Bring Chad Henne back and play the next season with him. And then maybe you go draft another guy the next year. Somebody emerges.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
All right, we'll leave it at that. News is next on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, hour number two, Jaguars Monday from the HananiahAutos.com studio. Brian Sexton, Pete Prisco, and Boselli's off looking for Christmas cookies
and Joe.
Somewhere.
Joe, get over here. You're on.
He'll find him at some point, and he'll come back. So the big story this afternoon.
Wait. Does he have a plate when he comes back? Yes or no?
Yes or no?
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt.
Okay.
He's got...
Winner!
It's not just a plate.
No, that's not a plate. That's like
a box.
Enough for four people for the next week.
What are you talking about?
Well, the question was, will Boselli return with a plate?
Yeah.
Come on.
We're dinner number one, because you're back off your diet, so that's dinner number one.
No, this is all I'm going to have some
Christmas cookies when you get home.
I'm
going to
have some baked goods when I get home, though.
All right, so the big story today broke a few hours ago, and it's that Tony Romo has a herniated disc in his back. Now, it was reported that he was done, that the season was over, needed surgery, and then Jason Garrett came on at his news conference this afternoon and said, nah, not so fast, he's rehabbing, we're not going to rule him out just yet. What does this do for Sunday night's game against the Eagles, which is for the division title?
Doesn't do anything.
Well, and
the
is
Eagles
he
are
going
to win anyways.
I don't think they would have. But is he out?
Oh, he's going to play. Come on.
You think he plays?
Shoot it up. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, but can you?
It's playoff time.
I mean, we don't know from a medical standpoint. You've had back problems over the years.
No, never did.
But you know, guys that did have back problems.
Yeah.
Right? Could you play if you shoot it up?
I think so.
If it's a herniated, somebody out there might know.
Can't you numb it up?
Ask a doctor.
You shoot it up with that epidural. Get an epidural.
Yeah, but it's a herniated disc. I mean, we don't know. I don't know. You don't know. You don't know. Maybe a doctor out there. Maybe we'll get a doctor to call in. Give us a call.
I would shoot it up.
Shoot it up, but. And risk further. You're playing with a back, Tony. That's not. It's not an ankle or a knee. It's a back.
What's the worst thing that can happen? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Well, maybe
a
doctor.
In all seriousness, if I was playing, I would say, what's the worst case scenario? I'll give you a perfect example. When I was at SC, I had high ankle sprain. We're playing in Arizona, high ankle sprain. Next 2 weeks are UCLA Notre Dame, biggest games of the year. And so I am on crutches Thursday of the game. And I convinced them to shoot up my ankle to see if they can numb it so I can try to play on Friday night. Knowing that, and they say, if we do this, you're going to be out for sure Notre Dame and most likely the bowl game. I said, well, it's worth it. It's UCLA. It's cross-town rival. What I tried to do, I couldn't do it. I was on crutches still. I actually suited up for the game, tried to warm up, couldn't do it. So I'm on crutches all week until Wednesday. I go out, and the coach says, you have to at least walk through. They shoot it up, and the trainer and doctor says, if we do this, you are out for the bowl game. So you're making a choice. You either play against Notre Dame or against, I think we're playing Fresno in the Freedom Bowl. Well, that's an easy choice. I'm going to play Notre Dame. I knew the risk. The risk was, you know, I could have tore it up more and maybe have, you know, break or whatever. But it was Notre Dame. It was the last game of the year. I'll take, you know, I'll roll the dice and shoot it up and go play. And I think if I'm Tony Romo, I say, tell me what's my downside.
Did you play in the Freedom Bowl?
No, I was on crutches.
But it's a big difference. An ankle, even you'll admit a big difference in the back.
No, you're missing my point, Pete.
I know, I understand.
Just, I want to know the risk.
Right. What I'd like to know the risk now. I wish we had a doctor call.
No, but I'm saying if I'm Tony Romo, that's all I'm asking. Tell me the risk.
Well, the other side of the coin is that there's a lot of money. His cap figure is the highest for any quarterback in football next year. I mean, the Cowboys have a decision to make on this one, too, not just Tony.
I agree. If he plays.
They're not winning.
I think they would have won.
No way.
With a healthy Romo.
Nope, not a chance.
Why?
Their defense is atrocious.
Oh, Philadelphia's is really good,
it's
too.
It's better than theirs.
Yeah, but it's not good. They went to
– Let's not forget
where Philadelphia went two weeks ago and got destroyed. Matt Castle threw for 350 against them and beat them.
I understand that.
But you see, you're another one of the guys that sits there on Sunday night and watches a team, and next thing you know, you go, like Collinsworth and everybody else, greatest team in the world. Nobody can beat them. They're unbelievable.
No. That didn't happen last night? They're going to lose the first playoff game.
Maybe not. The playoffs are going to be wacky this year.
No, but I'm saying my point is Philly is not. I mean, I'm not sold on Philly. I just know they're better than Dallas.
I think it'll be a shootout, though. I think it would have been a high scoring, fun shootout if Romo was in the game.
Oh, sure, but
38-35. Somebody wins. Whoever has the last possession.
Philly's
wins.
Defense is better than Dallas's defense.
Yes, Dallas's defense is bad. All time bad.
Hey, so which brings us to the point: if you're Dallas with that defense and knowing that your team is not that good, you got a quarterback who has $20 million in dead money on your cap. No, $41 million in dead money in the cap. Next year, it'd cost you almost 20 of it. I mean, do you take a chance with a guy who is so interlaced in your salary cap this year?
I don't know, Brian. I need to know the downside.
I'm just asking the question.
If they're just telling me that it's going to be sore and it's going to hurt and it's gonna you're going to have surgery one way or another to fix this disc, then shoot it up. Let's go to work. If you're telling me that I could end my career and do severe damage, nerve damage, where it's going to affect me running and throwing and all that stuff, then no, I don't play.
Well,
it's as easy as that.
ESPN is a doctor that has not looked at Tony Romo but said 95% it's a four-month injury to rehab with surgery.
Okay, that's fine. That doesn't tell me the downside of playing with it shot up. I know I'm rehabbing one way or another. I know I'm having surgery. And so if I know I'm having surgery, but you're telling me I can shoot it up for the next, hopefully, 4 weeks to get the chance to play
Super Bowl? Put off surgery until after the season?
Then I'm going to shoot it up.
Right. If there's no long-term effects from shooting it up. I'm with you.
Or if the long-term effects are like nil.
Minimal.
Yeah, minimal.
Right. No different if you play and shoot it up than if you just get the surgery. I would agree. We don't know that.
I don't know that.
We need a surgeon to call in, Brian.
But if it's a serious injury.
A back surgeon.
If it's where's Dr. Kaplan? Isn't he the team doctor? Can he call?
Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't want to pick up the phone and call and postulate on.
Well, I mean, I postulate all the time.
Yeah,
problem.
You're not a doctor.
I could play one.
Well, do it right now.
By the way, I went back and watched the Eagles Cowboys first game for a team that had no defense the entire season.
That was early though.
It wasn't that early. It was when Foles was playing.
It was early.
Yeah.
Like
it was midway
five.
Through the season. It was about seven, I think it was. Or, yeah, maybe five, six, seven, somewhere in there. For a team that still didn't have any defense, they played well that day. Really well. And Monty Kiffin had some stuff up his sleeve for that
one
spread
offense.
A few
times.
Yeah. But it was 17-9 or was the final of that game? It was a very low-scoring game. But they locked him up in man coverage, and I was astounded by it. Carr had a good day.
It was October 20th, and it was 17-3.
Yeah. 3 points, and Foles was terrible. The right tackle, the rookie, was awful.
He's playing
better. He's gotten better, but
Lane Johnson.
They did a good job, and Jason Hatcher could not be blocked that day. I'm telling you, it would have been a good game. I don't know if it will be now if he doesn't play, but I'm with you, Tony. If he can play and you can put it off for 4 weeks, play.
I still think
you expect him to be there.
Well, I think Dallas is going to lose no matter what because that's what Dallas does in these games. They lose.
Well, the history tells you that.
Yeah, that's who they are.
I'd still take Romo at home and take my chances rather than the Eagles and Foles. That's just me.
Foles has looked pretty good the last several weeks.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Eagles are the first team in NFL history to score 50 points in a game in a season and give up 50 points in a game.
They're
in a season.
Atrocious on defense. And I know
it's weird because they have some pretty good players on that defense.
I mean, I know. To Pete's point, and I didn't watch the whole thing because it was a blowout, so I went to bed. But, you know, Collinsworth and Michaels were anointing the Eagles.
It was unbelievable.
As the Super Bowl.
Every Sunday.
Yeah.
Every single Sunday they do that. And then tonight we'll get Gruden doing the same thing with the 49ers, no matter what happens. It's every week. And then the Twitter and everybody else takes on and roll. It's a rolling ball of thunder. And then something happens that's real, like Seattle.
Like Seattle losing?
Well, that was the thing, is this whole – last month and a half, nobody can go to Seattle.
I was on that bandwagon.
I know you were. Nobody will go into Seattle and win. Nobody.
Save it. That's the Copy Facts face-off. Let's go to the AFC playoff picture. Denver sitting at one. Come on, New England's going to beat Buffalo at home this week.
I'm not sure.
You're crazy.
No. Let me tell you why. Logan Mankins is playing left tackle. He struggled against
He struggled last week against
Suggs. And the one thing Buffalo can do is rush the passer. They have the most sacks in the league.
They got over 50. What, they got 54?
I mean, they can get after it. The Patriots' run defense is not very good.
Buffalo can run
the ball. I'm telling you, listen, I think New England's going to win, but this is a game I could see Buffalo coming out.
But who plays quarterback? Is Thad Lewis or Emmanuel?
I mean, who knows? Does it matter?
Then you can pull the Tampa tape out and see they were lazy in that day. Will they show up and want to play?
Well, they showed up yesterday, and they beat the heck out of Miami. They showed up here. They played hard. So, I mean, last game you worried, are their bags packed, or is the mentality like, we can really screw up New England if we beat them?
Okay, if Buffalo were to beat New England.
And by the way, everyone listening, I'm not saying they're going to.
No.
I'm just saying the matchup is not good for New England.
Right, right. And it wasn't good for Miami yesterday.
No.
If Buffalo beats New England, were to beat New England, and Cincinnati beats Baltimore, Cincinnati would be the 2 seed. That would be incredible.
And if Indy beats the Jaguars, they're the 3 seed. New England goes all the way to a 4.
Right. That would be incredible. So then you'd have, in that scenario, let's play it out. If that were to happen, Miami would probably beat the Jets, so Miami would be the 6.
I mean,
Kansas City would go play New England in the first round, and Miami would go play Indianapolis, who they beat already at Indy early in the season.
And he don't want to know the funny thing is, this is what Denver doesn't want. Tom Brady and New England are marching to Mile High for the second week of the playoffs.
I don't think Denver's worrying about people marching in this year. I think that their offense is they're on pace to score 600 points.
San Diego would think differently.
It happened. Well, it's Arizona would think differently.
I agree.
If they got
no,
in against
right.
Seattle.
That's
right.
Another big piece of news, by the way. Their best pass rusher, Von Miller gone
torn
for the
ACL.
Year. The defense
he wasn't
not
playing
great
anyway.
He started to start looking like Von Miller
but he hadn't been great.
But again, though, he's that guy. Like, when you guys had Brackens, sack, fumble, game over in the fourth quarter.
Oh, he can change the game in a heartbeat.
Right. Those are the guys you have to have. That's a big void. No one's going to step up and do it now.
Pot roast?
Jeremy Mincy.
Oh, wow.
Jeremy Mincy.
Yeah, you see his tweet earlier today? A little backhanded slap about finally winning a division title.
Yeah.
Just got there this week.
What'd he say?
I'll go find it.
Come on, Mince. You're better than that.
I like Mincy.
I do, too, but you were there for, like, a cup of coffee. Don't jump on.
He's on. He's in. He's riding.
Yeah, but
he
don't
played.
Say that you won the division title. You didn't do anything.
He won?
No, he didn't. He didn't do anything.
He's part of the culture. He's part of the culture now.
Beat my head against.
By the way, have you seen Pot Roast lately? There's two of them.
He's large. He's gotten bigger. Is that possible?
It's possible. I love the guy.
I do
it's
too.
Possible. He might be one of my favorite guys that ever been around here, but he's big.
All right, let's go to break. We'll come back. What we got? The copy facts, and I want to hear Mincy's tweet when we get back.
All right, I'm looking for it. We'll be back right after this on Jaguars Radio.
Christmas without you, I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations
never gets old. I think it's 77. Never gets old.
What do you mean? Somewhere. I'm tired.
Love it. Wouldn't be Christmas without Elvis and Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash Christmas album, one of my favorites. 355-NFL-1. What's that? 800-355-6351. It's not on there.
All right, before we get to the copy facts face-off,
it's division champs.
Hold on. Just set this up. This is Jeremy Mincy, who was cut here for reasons
pertaining to...
Had nothing to do with the play on the field, pertaining to his ability to manage his lifestyle.
And handle his business...
As a professional,
tardy for the party. Let's just
on
say
the
that.
Field.
He's been tardy for the party.
I'm not on the field as far as in the building. I like Mintz. Always like Mintz, but I want to be clear why he was let go, because this tweet actually bothers me a lot.
Says the division champs 4 exclamation points. Broncos stand up, baby. 5 exclamation points. Feels good to win a division title finally.
He was there a week.
He didn't really win. First of all, he showed up on Wednesday, didn't he?
Yeah.
He didn't win a division title.
He played yesterday.
I don't care if he...
What if they win a Super Bowl? Is he part of that?
Yes, because he's part of the playoff run, yes.
Okay.
And he's probably going to be playing now with Von Miller.
And I'm fine with that. Listen, I think Mintz is a good player. I mean, he was not cut because of his play.
He'll help Denver.
I'm not saying he won't. I like Mintz. I'm not here to bash Mintz, but And then he went on to say some other stupid stuff, right?
Yeah, be happy for me. I deserve this.
It's been
a long time coming.
What do you mean I deserve this? You deserve to be – I mean, I guess you deserve to be cut. Is he saying he deserved to be cut?
Wait. In the grand scheme of things, though, when you really think about it, think about this for a second now.
What's he deserve?
Well, no. Forget about deserve. But in Prisco's world of if it's good for me, it's good for me.
You're a big Mints fan right now.
Is it not good for him?
No, it's good for him.
Has it not worked out for him?
I don't think it's ever good to be cut because of not being professional.
No, that's not good.
Okay, that's my point.
But
I don't think it's good.
Situationally, what if he goes on and wins a Super Bowl? Is that good for him? He's at the end of his career anyways, isn't he?
No, I don't think he is at the end of his career. He's only a 7-year player.
You think how many more years do you think he has left?
I think he has 3 or 4 left. I mean, Mintz is a decent player. He's a good player.
Okay, so then he wins a Super Bowl, they re-sign him, and it worked out for him.
Well, my point is, just because it – listen, obviously, if he wins a Super Bowl, it works out. But I'll just speak for myself. I would not want to be cut for being unprofessional.
Didn't keep him from getting a job.
Let me say it again, Pete.
I'm not saying. You wouldn't do it.
So
it wouldn't happen to you.
You're missing my point.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Let me just say, I want to say it real slow and clear. I would not want to be cut for being unprofessional. If I get cut because I don't play good enough, I'm not a good enough player, or I don't do something on the field, or there's someone better than me, I can live with that if I give my best. That means I gave my best, and it just wasn't good enough because someone was better, and that's life. It happens in every walk of life. But I don't want to be good enough and then be cut because I'm unprofessional.
That's you. I get it. That's me. I wouldn't want to be this. I wouldn't be in that position either. I wouldn't do it. I would work and play my hardest and show up and do everything just like you do with your normal job.
I just think it's funny that
come rolling in at five minutes after 7. No, but
I was here at quarter.
But you know what I mean? No, that's just what you do. But for him, in his scenario, take yourself out of the equation, it didn't damage him in anything. He was signed the next week.
For the same money?
I don't know what he got.
I don't know what he got
maybe,
either.
Maybe it did damage him.
Well, he's already made what he made. He
made about $12
million. Listen, I don't know what to
tell. It just goes against the grain of him.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm not okay with it.
I'm not okay with it. It's not what I would do. It's not what you would do. It's okay for him.
Am I happy that Mincy's on a team? Yes, because I like Mintz.
Right.
I want him to do well.
He's a very likable guy.
Yes, he is. I like him. But I have a problem with him saying, I just won a division title.
Well, that
you didn't win the division title. You showed up a place that had worked all year to get to that.
But in 2 months, you might be able to say, I just won a Super Bowl. You'll be
okay
with that.
Because he put this time, he's part of it. I'll be fine with that.
And then he'll get re-signed. But my other point is, everything will go, he'll be happy.
And then for him to say, I deserve this. I what do you mean you deserve it? I don't believe that. I don't believe you that behavior that's unbecoming of a professional, what you deserve, what I would like the tweet says, boy, am I fortunate to be able to be in a situation like this. You deserve it? Really?
You know, if he was capable of tweeting that showing humility, he'd still be here.
I mean, my tweet would be, man, I screwed up. I'm unfortunate I'm not with the Jaguars, but boy, am I fortunate to be at a great organization, just won a title, now I have a chance to go win a Super Bowl.
If he had that approach, he'd still be here.
But that's my problem. That's why I have a problem with it. And
that's not like him. He was a guy that came up as a self-made player. That's the weird thing about that whole dynamic.
I love Mintz. So we got 5 minutes.
Copybacks face
off. And I don't want to kill Mintz because, I like Mintz.
Me too.
I really do. And I wish him the best, but I disagree with that tweet 100%.
He lacks humility.
It bothers me. You don't deserve anything.
That won't happen with Peyton coaching that team.
The Seattle Seahawks are the topic this evening. Go for it.
Well, as I've been saying here and in a lot of other places, the perception that the Seattle Seahawks were unbeatable at home and they're going to waltz through the playoffs, 2 wins, right to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl, and that's the end of it, was misguided. And the reason it was misguided was because, yes, they're physical, yes, they're nasty, but they don't scare anybody in the passing game. If you can keep that guy in the pocket, he is ordinary. And the Arizona Cardinals kept him in the pocket Sunday, and he threw for 103 yards.
108.
Or whatever it was, and he looked ordinary. His passer rating was in the 40s. And to me, That's very telling because that was a game that mattered to Seattle. Yes, it mattered to Arizona, but it mattered to Seattle.
Mattered more to Arizona, Pete. And last time
they might not even get in the postseason. Well,
but there was only a chance of their hope was to win that game.
Okay.
If the last time the Seattle Seahawks before this Sunday lost at home was December 24th of 2011. Last time they won. That's 2 years that they've won every ball game. Their first loss that Russell Wilson's ever had at home.
Right.
They are one of the best defenses in the league. They're one of the best running teams in the league. They're one of the best all-around teams in the NFL, if not the best. They have the best home field advantage. None of that changed because of one loss. This is professional football. Everyone gets paid to do their job out there.
Coach speak.
And no, I'm saying this is serious. And everyone's going to have a bad day sooner or later. Your beloved Peyton Manning has had bad days.
Beloved.
The guy you worship and kneel down before every morning and say, oh, hail, oh, Peyton, hail you.
Put him on Seattle. I'll put them in the Super Bowl.
My point in saying this, nothing has changed. Seattle still has the best
home
field advantage.
No, nothing has changed.
They still have one of the best defenses. They still have one of the best running games, and they still have one of the best young quarterbacks, and they still will win both games. And they still will win both games. One game does not define a guy.
Let's go through it again. You said
one game.
No, home field advantage.
They're going to have home field advantage.
And that's important. Well, maybe.
Come on.
To be determined.
You think
the Rams are pretty damn physical,
too. They're going to lose Sunday.
Hey, they got physical by Arizona. They get physical again by the Rams. Okay. Home field advantage, important. Really good defense. But some flaws in the defense. There's some flaws. They got a kid playing corner. They picked on him a little bit. Chancellor can't cover.
How many points did they give up, Pete?
Well, he's 17. Four times.
That was. I mean, come on. Their defense was not the problem.
When they had
Pete. Let's just be clear, because you're going to sound like a moron here in a second. Their defense wasn't the issue.
No, that's not.
They had four picks and gave up 17 points.
Nobody's saying they're not good at defense. But when they had to make up, when they had the lead, it was 10-9. Arizona took the ball and went bang, 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 and made a play and went ahead. That good defense is supposed to put that team away right there. They didn't. Second, the offensive line was whipped. And that's been a season-long problem that he's covered up with his ability to get outside the pocket. 3.9 per carry for the great Marshawn Lynch. They held him in check.
Had a bad day.
Well, and that's just it. When the running game isn't there,
It's the first time in 2 years.
Well, and you know what? Tampa Bay beat them up a little bit for two
and
a half quarters.
First time in 2 years.
But look at some of the teams they beat there. Listen, they beat San Francisco twice there, and I'll give them credit for all the credit in the world.
They beat everyone else there.
They're good. They're not unbeatable.
They will not be beaten. Listen, the only chance they have of not going to the Super Bowl, the only chance, is if they lose Sunday.
Listen,
St. Louis is a good team. But the only chance is in St. Louis, correct?
No, it's in Seattle.
Oh, it's over.
Well,
they're not losing back-to-back.
They're not unbeatable. They're unbeatable.
They're not losing back-to-back.
Okay, I give you the Seattle, and I get the field, the NFC.
Fine.
You'll take them?
And whoever's right will own, what's the date today? 23rd, this CopyFacts.
You got it.
Done.
All right. CopyFacts face-off, folks. You can visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush, and get caught up on all the latest Jaguars news, plus a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. News is next from the folks at News Talk WOKB, now 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening?
Oh, I love this one right here.
In the lane, snow.
This will put a smile on your face.
A beautiful sight, or we're happy.
Unless you're the angry elf.
Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away.
You know who it is.
Is a bluebird here to stay?
He doesn't know who it is.
Is a new bird. He's singing.
You know who this is?
Frank.
Bing Crosby.
He had no idea.
Nah, it's Bing Crosby.
I know. We can
build a snowman. Is that Bing Crosby?
No, it's Perry Como.
He is possible.
Who is it?
He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man.
Tony Bennett.
You can do the job when you're in town. Later on.
You should know he's quarter Italian.
I'm full Italian.
By the fire.
It's not Frank? Is it Tony Benedetto?
Well, it sounds
is
like
it Perry Como?
Just say who it is, Joe.
Who is it, Joe?
It's Dean Martin.
It's Dino Martelli? Is it?
Wow.
Wow, you guys are all a disgrace.
You know what it is? He's not drunk. I don't understand him. He's drunk all the time. You don't even know who Dino Martino is, do you?
Yeah, Dean Martin.
Dino Martino. I love guys' real names. Like Ralph Lauren. Ralph Lipschitz.
Shot at me.
No, it's not. I forgot.
Yeah, it's a shot at me.
No, it really wasn't. I forgot about that.
What's that?
He was shooting me a
bird. When I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I got a fashion
question.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah, that's right. I forgot that.
Yeah. That was a shot.
That really wasn't. Because you know why?
I knew the minute you said, I went, oh, you're shooting at me.
You know why? No, you know why? I'm not really shooting at you because I told my wife and her mother that. Now her mother won't buy it because it ruined the whole designer
the
whole label.
The design thing of it all. All right, so we go to week 17. Can it top week 16?
That was unbelievable. We were sitting in the green room down there in Fort Lauderdale watching all the action. And at first it starts, you know, Brad does that thing. That was fantastic. And then you get the end of games. You have Carolina over here. And he, you know, New Orleans doesn't do a thing all day. Goes down the field, drives, gets the touchdown. Carolina comes back. And this is a moment for Cam Newton. You have to have that moment as a quarterback. First play from scrimmage, he gets pressured. There's a little crack in the middle, and instead of taking off for 14 yards, he keeps his head up and fires a laser shot to Ted Ginn for 37 yards.
When he
off
throws the ball, it's pretty. Isn't
oh
it?
My gosh!
It's
and then so they pretty. Go in and score. Place goes wild. Then you have the end of the game, and what was the other game? It was
Pittsburgh Green Bay
in the 4 o'clock games. Incredible. Both coaches blew it at the end of the game. What did you think of that with Tomlin?
First of all, take a knee and kick the dang field goal.
Right. Take a knee on second down, then try and score on third down, and then kick a knee on fourth down.
Just why?
Because it was snowy and mushy, so if you could – but I get it.
It's
use some clock.
Shot.
Use some clock.
It was a chip shot, too.
Use some clock, though.
Absolutely. I mean, and because –
Green Bay let him score.
Green Bay had no timeouts left.
No. Well, they had one, then they used it, but after second down, they had none. They should have just run the clock.
Could have run it down on second and third down, kick it
second down, he got down to the second down, they called timeout, I think, and then he ran it on – oh, right, he scored on second down. They called timeout after first down. They should have let him score on first down. Green Bay should have let him score on first down.
My whole point
they
is
should have
they should have
taken
a knee
and then scored on third down and then kicked.
And then at the end of the game, what was Mike McCarthy thinking?
Well, that was just a total – they didn't even realize
there was
no
urgency.
Well, they didn't and the announcers didn't realize it was a 10-second runoff on an illegal procedure penalty, but there was no urgency. They got one playoff in 30 seconds. They ran the ball, too.
I was actually okay with that run, but if you're going to run the ball – in the huddle, you're telling everybody
get up and run again.
Get right on the line of scrimmage, right. And we're gonna run this place next.
Bad coaching.
Bad clock management.
We spent a lot of time about Tony Romo and you know whether or not there's a risk factor, how you approach him this week. What about Aaron Rodgers? You've got the division on the line with Green Bay and Chicago on Sunday night. Amazingly,
I don't know
they can still make the playoffs.
Yeah,
I don't know enough about a clavicle.
I've read
injury.
Different things about this. If it
well, Romo
if
missed
it
the whole season.
I mean, if it you know, it breaks all the way, then you got to go back and have this whole surgery. But you got all that time in the world now. Can he play pain-free? That's the question. And if he can't play pain-free, shoot it up and go play. But can he function as a quarterback?
I have no
That's
idea.
That's the thing. You know, I went back and rewatched that game, too, last week, and I watched the injury. And it's one of those – and we've all seen it. When you know a guy goes down right away, you know which
shoulder
angle he goes
his shoulder gets pinned underneath
in
him.
In the ground, and then it's an injury. So would you – I mean, do you play him? If you got a chance to go to the
yes,
postseason?
Yes, if he's cleared medically, I play him.
I play him, too.
I'm calling the doctor.
Call the doc.
Call
Let's
the
go,
doctor.
Doc.
Let's get the doctor up.
Joe's making a quick phone call.
Yeah. But you know, I would play him if he could play. If he's cleared medically, you play him.
Well, you know, he's been on the practice field for the last couple of weeks in a limited role, and every week they get to the point where they say, okay, we're going to evaluate him on Friday, and they don't put him up.
Mike McCarthy said this week he wants to know sooner.
Well, and that's just it. Who's making that decision? I don't think it's Mike McCarthy making the decision. I think it's Ted Thompson, and Ted Thompson is very conservative. Ted Thompson is cautionary.
But if you look at this as the year.
But are they that good?
Is anyone that good, Pete?
No, I don't think so. That's just it. If you get that guy back at Aaron Rodgers' level now, if he's Aaron Rodgers at 70%, that's a different story. If you're Aaron Rodgers at 90%, then you got a chance
to go
through
the floor. They're going to be the 4 seed. Who are they going to play?
Well, it would be 4-5, so it would be San Francisco. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I'd probably keep him out.
But in the postseason, anything's possible. What if San Francisco has to go to Green Bay in the frigid cold
They do
condition?
Have to go to Green Bay.
Yeah, and it's cold and nasty. Then what? I mean, anything's possible to play. But playoff, this is going to be
– I can't wait.
This is going to be like when you guys went on a run, somebody's going on a magical run. Some crappy team that you're sitting there thinking.
Oh, you're saying we were crappy?
Yes, you were crappy. You were crappy. You got hot at the right time. You weren't a good team. You know that. You weren't a good team.
We were a good team.
If 99 had played 96, 99 would have beat 96 by 20 in each of those two playoff games. True or false?
That hurts.
Why? Because you weren't on the playoff field that 99?
Yeah, it's painful.
It's true, though, and you know it. You were there for most of that season.
I was there all 16 games.
Right, so you know that team was
I did the opposite of Mintz. Yeah. I actually put all the work in and didn't get the payoff.
But significantly better, that's 99 teams.
No, I agree. Right. I think this playoffs is going to be fabulous, too, because there's so many unknowns, and the storylines on both sides are so...
Well, just look at the NFC
now. Start the AFC, though, first.
All right.
You got Peyton Manning, and he broke the record and everything else, but would anyone be surprised if they lost in the first round?
Me. Because they put the pedal to the metal, man.
Would you be surprised?
No, I wouldn't be surprised if anybody lost.
That's my point.
I wouldn't be surprised if anybody lost.
But typically, the one seed, you're shocked. Like, last year, we were all shocked that Baltimore went in and beat Denver. If you remember, Baltimore was not playing great football.
Right, right.
We were shocked.
Were you shocked that you weren't shocked that San Francisco beat Atlanta?
No, but that was the two best teams at the end.
Were you shocked when Green Bay went in and beat Atlanta as a one seed? No.
No.
Were you shocked when the Giants went in and beat Green Bay as a one seed?
Yeah, that was a surprise.
Yeah, but they were
surprises. My whole point is this year it's wide open.
You know why? Everybody has flaws. Whoever can, and that's why I wrote that today for tomorrow. Whoever covers up their flaws best, that's the team that's going to win it all. Like in Denver, go through their flaws. The defense is flawed.
Ugh.
It's been flawed the whole year. But they score so many points that it helps cover up for the flaws.
Well, here's a perfect example. Cincinnati very easily could end up as the 4 seed.
Right.
They win week one at home. They go to Denver. Does Denver want to play a physical Cincinnati team in cold weather?
No.
No. I mean, not even close.
I don't think anybody and Cincinnati's already beaten New England, so
that's
they
my
know
point.
They can,
I mean, it's not. And then go to the AFC. I mean, the NFC. I think. Listen, I am more bullish on Seattle than Pete is. But would it utterly shock me if San Francisco, who's going to be the 5 seed, win week one in the playoffs and then Seattle has to face them? In the second week of the playoffs, San Francisco in Seattle, and San Francisco beating Seattle, I don't think it's going to happen. Would it shock me? No.
It wouldn't shock me for anything.
I mean, that's my whole point. It's going to be a great – first of all, there's nothing better in this world when it comes to sports than NFL playoffs.
No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
And I know all the hockey fans are saying, well, NHL playoffs are great, and they are outstanding. But not even close to the – and I mean, the finality, the one and done. I mean, the drama. I mean, there's nothing better. And so – but this year, I think, is going to be amped up even another level because of what Pete said, the flaws and the storylines. And I mean, listen, I mean, you got Peyton in the record setting. I mean, how many more chances does he have to do this? I mean.
But think about it. Let's go through all the teams. Denver flaws defensively. They are flawed defensively. They had a lot of injuries, so they're
offensive flawed. Line, I think they struggle up front, too.
They play pretty well this year. Those guys, Peyton helps them, but they play pretty well. Those guys have played pretty well. For not having your left tackle, they play pretty well.
But I'm just saying, San Diego got after. I mean,
right, but that was one game.
Get after
they,
him.
Right.
Jags got after him early. I mean, let's just be honest.
Let's go to the second seed would be New England. Flawed in the run defense.
Flawed in receivers. Flawed everywhere.
Yeah, they're flawed.
That's why I think Tom Brady's the best quarterback in the game right now, because he is doing more with less than anybody else.
Yeah, he's doing a lot. He has a lot less. But, okay, so then you go to the 3 seed. Cincinnati, can Andy Dalton win a playoff game? That's the flaw there. Hey, by the way, 31 touchdown passes for Andy Dalton, 15 in the last 4 games at home. They've scored 40 points or more in the last 4 home games.
Listen, you know me. I'm a big Cincinnati fan.
And they still struggle to sell tickets. That's amazing.
You and I have been on their bandwagon from the start.
I just wish we'd see him with Geno Atkins and Leon Hall in the postseason. I mean, that defense could be really, really good.
But I'll just look at that offense. A.J. Green and
Giovanni Bernard and Eifert and Gresham and
the other receivers.
Sanu and Jones. Yeah, they have tons of weapons. Tons of weapons. And the offensive line is big and tough,
The biggest issue they have is Jay Gruden going to choke on a chicken bone come playoff time
or,
and get conservative?
Or is Marvin –
I mean, like last year – in the playoffs, they didn't target A.J. Green for like 3 quarters.
Yeah, terrible. Terrible. And he does that a lot. It's crazy. Know. Or is Marvin going to say, okay, we got such a good
let
defense
it go.
That the Ravens.
No, they need to let it go.
I agree.
Let it go.
Every time they're home, they let it go. When they go on the road, they tighten up. So that's them. The 4 is Indy. They have tons of flaws. Without Andrew, he covers them up like crazy.
Andrew Luck is, and I always love this, and they debate, you know, who's better, Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, RG3, Colin Kaepernick, you know, go down the list of the young quarterbacks. Andrew Luck is better than all of them.
Yes.
Because what he does with – you put Andrew Luck on the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, my God.
They might not ever – they might be 16-0.
Right, right. That's how good he is.
I mean, that's how – he is that good.
But they're flawed. They have a lot of flaws.
Flawed.
But
– deeply flawed.
But in the postseason –
they have a heck of a coach and they have a heck of a quarterback.
And they have a heck of a pass rusher. And in the postseason, right. You have have that. So – you add it all up, they have a little formula. But, you know, they can get hot. Who knows? Then you got the 5 seed would be Kansas City, has a ton of flaws.
Yeah, they're not very good.
Then the 6 seed.
Right now it's Miami.
And if they beat the Jets, it's going to be Miami, unless Baltimore beats Cincinnati. And Cincinnati ultimately might be able to decide who they want to play.
So if Baltimore and Miami tie.
Baltimore's in as long as San Diego doesn't win, right? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, because if San Diego wins, then it's a 3-way tie. It's crazy.
Yeah. Pittsburgh could still get in.
So, yeah.
Pittsburgh could still get in. If Baltimore, San Diego, and Miami all lose and Pittsburgh wins, they get in. And they're the team nobody wants to get in the way Ben Roethlisberger's playing.
I agree.
All right, let's save the NFC. We'll talk about that when we come back. Final segment, Jaguars Monday from the HananiaAutos.com studio after this on Jaguars Radio.
Donna Karen or Giorgio Armani?
Wow.
Come on, Heather, baby.
Needless to say, I got it wrong.
Let me ask you a question.
Italians never change their name. No, never forget that.
All right.
Is it going to be cold tomorrow?
It's going to be great.
Did I hear that?
Yeah, 30.
I was supposed to play golf in the morning.
You have a tough life, Pacelli.
I'm going to have to cancel. It's going to be too cold.
Where were you playing?
That's none of your business. I like to keep my private life private.
Well, you just announced you were playing golf. It's not so private.
That's private.
That's not private. You just announced it.
I don't want the paparazzi to come out and see me.
Believe me, they won't be showing up. They won't be showing up.
All right, so let's take a look at the NFC in particular now. Seattle, you want to talk about their flaws. Carolina, Philadelphia, Chicago, San Francisco, right. New Orleans. Hey, before you go, the one team, we may not get to them. Arizona, sitting on the outside right now.
They might be one of the best teams in the NFC right now. The way
and if they win, they get to 11-5, and they might not get in. But remember, they went to the Super Bowl as a 9-7 team a couple years ago. So
karma works itself out.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. It all evens out.
No, it does not.
In life, it all evens
dumb.
Out.
That's dumb.
Except here.
That's
when
a dumb
because you'll never get even on all those face-offs. So it won't ever even out in this studio.
That's a dumb statement. That team has nothing to do with this team. I mean, that's just nonsensical to make that comment. I'm disappointed in both of you, frankly.
It all evens out.
It happens.
Out. It all evens out.
Yeah, talk about the Patriots, right? 11-5 in 2008 without Tom Brady. Didn't make
that
the
has nothing to do with anything.
Whoever says that everything that you say has anything to do with everything.
And they won
because I'm right.
And they won that year that they didn't go.
How does that work for you at home?
By the way.
That's why I do it here.
I knew it.
By the way, Tony, that year that they went 11-5 and didn't make the playoffs, they won the same number of rings that they did the year they went 18-0. Nothing.
That's a good point.
All right, Seattle. You were dealing with flaws.
Yeah. I've been saying all along that I think if you keep the quarterback in the pocket, which he's very good outside the pocket, he's smart, make him stand there on the spot, I think you can beat them.
I don't think they have as many. Everyone's beatable, but they don't have the flaws. They have the least amount of flaws of any of the teams.
I would agree with that.
All right, so then let's move on to Carolina.
Great quarterbacks cover up more of your flaws, though.
Okay, go on. Right, Carolina's the number 2 seed.
Right now they would be the 2 seed. If they win at Atlanta this week, they will be the two seed.
They're going to beat Atlanta.
And again, quarterback and pass rushers. That's what the NFL is about, and they have them. They have the quarterback and the pass rushers. They have flaws, though. What if Steve Smith can't play at 100%?
They have major flaws in the pass game.
Right, a lot, because they have no real weapons. Greg Olsen's a pretty good player.
Yeah, they're the one team.
They can go to Seattle and win.
They can beat Seattle.
Because they're physical, they can rush the passer.
Yeah.
And Kuechly's a great linebacker. He had 24 tackles yesterday.
I mean, that's the team. Like I
think there's a lot of teams, but
I think Seattle. I mean, I think Carolina has a better chance of beating Seattle than San Francisco because I think in San Francisco's mind, every time they go to Seattle, they get their rear end handed to them, and I just think that Seattle is physical. They're not bullied by San Francisco. San Francisco is a big bully team. They want to bully you and then get on top of you and just kind of finish you off. And they can't do that to Seattle.
I want to see if Philly gets in. I want to see Philly play Seattle.
They're next on our list. They're three right now.
Ugh, they'll get killed. Because the same reason that Oregon struggled anytime you played a physical team, because a physical team blows up all that misdirection stuff. That's why.
They don't really run a lot of misdirection.
Yeah, they do.
They also throw the ball and get the ball out of his hands the ball down the field. But it's not. It's not
penetration
quite,
messes all that up.
Yeah, I agree. But they're pretty good on the offense. They're the only offensive line in the league that's had the same five starters the entire year.
They're really good at center.
Kelsey's good.
And they're really good at left tackle.
And they're really good at left guard. Evan Mathis is really good player.
I don't know about really good. They're good.
He's played as well as any guard in this league this year. Evan Mathis is really
they're
good.
Not
the
very
right
good.
Guy, Harriman's not bad.
The right side is average.
And the kid's getting better, though.
Average. Average, Pete.
Okay. Compare to the rest of the offensive lines in the NFL. Where do they rank?
Yeah. About like the rest of them.
No, they're better.
Because their left tackle's really good.
Okay.
And their center's really good.
And they'll be
physical.
And
their defense is really bad.
It's not good.
Like awful.
It's not good.
Chicago.
Terrible.
Bad. Worst, they make that them and Dallas.
They're not getting in. First of all,
no.
Green Bay's going to beat them
at Chicago.
Well, what if Rodgers doesn't play?
I don't care. They're so bad.
Green Bay's not great either without Rodgers.
That's what I said. If Rodgers doesn't play,
that's what I mean.
Eddie Lacy's going to have 300 yards rushing.
He's hurt too.
Okay, who's next?
James Stark.
He'll have 500 yards.
Yeah, the Bears are really bad on defense. Really bad on defense.
Who's their coordinator?
Mel Tucker. It's not him. You couldn't coach those.
No,
guys.
I know. I'm not saying
you
I
could,
was just. I,
you could take. I you could remember. Take. You could take a Rex Ryan, Mike Nolan, Dick LeBeau clone, and he's not coaching.
I couldn't remember
United
if
States.
He went to Cleveland or
no.
or yeah. Chicago with Chicago.
San Francisco.
That's a good team, but again, start showing me something in the passing game.
Yeah, I think Colin Kaepernick is okay. I don't think they run the ball as well as they have in the past. I mean, Frank Gore is still good, but Frank Gore is a little bit – doesn't have much explosion, big play stuff.
And
– defensively
– they're beatable down the field a little bit.
Yeah, they're not great outside of their corners.
Right.
And here's the thing. They were – listen, Alden Smith is getting back into form, and he's a dang good –
So is Justin Smith.
And so they're really good, but I still don't think they're as physical as they were –
No.
Last year. I think you can run the ball against them. I think you can. I mean, not it's not easy, but I think you can. But they're, listen, the three teams, it's in my opinion, it's going to be one of three teams out of the NFC in the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be Seattle. But if it's going to be Seattle, Carolina, or San Francisco. I don't think any of the other teams have.
So he's just dismissing Drew Brees.
I was just about to say.
No chance.
That's the one team that we haven't talked about.
You can't just dismiss him.
I just did.
Yeah, and they've had some problems on the road.
No chance.
Look, he's Drew Brees. He is Drew Brees. He's been to the postseason. He's been to the Super Bowl. He's won a Super Bowl.
They might lose in the first round.
You can't just dismiss Drew Brees. You're crazy.
They will for sure lose in the second
round. They might, but they could go win someplace.
Right now, they're playing Philadelphia.
They could beat Philly because the Philly's defense is so bad.
And then they would be the they would
and
be.
And then they go to Seattle and they're going to lose by 100.
Why? Because they beat them there by 100 the first time.
I'm just telling you, they're not going to Seattle and beating anybody. Well,
but you know, if the offensive line, is that what you're going to say? Is
they're
their,
no very they're not very
is
good.
Is their flaw?
They're terrible.
The left tackle is a big flaw. The line itself, the inside guys are fine.
Average. Their left guard's good.
Evans plays right guard.
I mean Evans. Yeah, Evans
right
is good.
De La Puente's okay.
He's okay.
And Grubbs is a fighter. He's okay. The right tackle is good at times. The left tackle's a big problem. But
there's
go
three
look at Seattle's offensive line.
I think there's
you love their line. They've been playing like crap.
I think there's six teams in the AFC that can win it.
I
mean, go to the Super
six
Bowl.
Teams in the
there's
NFC.
Only three in the NFC.
No, see,
you heard it here first.
You hear what he's talking about. It's all he's dismissing quarterbacks. Can't
Thank
be
you.
That dumb.
I'll be here next week, though.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Pete, bring your slippers. I'll have the cocoa.